Welcome to Because I Want to Know, the podcast where I interview guests about their crazy, unique occupations or life experiences. I'm your host, Leslie Fear. So let's get into it, shall we? Hey, everyone. Today, I'm joined with Astrology Blitz. I found him on TikTok. He's incredible. You guys, I've had astrologers on before, and I really have liked them. They've been fantastic, but I've learned more from him than truly any other astrologer, and I want to welcome him to my show. Hello, Astrology Blitz.
Hi, thanks for having me.
I tell you what. Now, listen, there's a lot to this because you do lives often, and so I'm always on your lives because, you know, I'm like 2 hours later, and a lot of times I'll go to bed way earlier than probably anybody really wants to know, and then I wake up in the middle of the night, and I'm like, hey, wait a minute, astrology's on, and I can't sleep, so I'll hop onto your live, and like I said, I've learned more from you, like the order of astrology, and like, you know, the sun and the risings are kind of the same. Well, I think the rising's more important than the sun in astrology. Is that correct?
You know, some astrologers, it's like some therapists, you know, you could go to a shrink and one's a Jungian and the other's a Freudian and the other's a Gestalt therapist. So
Right. There's
a number of traditions. You know, you can go to a doctor and one could say to lose weight and the other could say to take this big pharma medicine and the other could say get more exercise. So there's a lot of traditions in astrology.
Yeah.
I am of the belief that the sun sign is the most important, but I'm not going to get into a fist fight with another astrologer if they say the rising sign is more important.
Right.
They are both significant.
Exactly. Let me ask you this. Why is astrology so accurate? I don't understand how that's possible.
You know, I've thought about it over the years. I've been doing this for 30 years.
Yeah.
And you know, I started out quite a skeptic. So there is every once in a while, there'll just be this little punk rocker in me saying, do you believe in this crap? So
right.
So it's a little daunting at times.
Yeah.
But I really have come down to the ancient philosophers that we are all really one.
Exactly.
And if you think about the fact that the sphere is the natural form in the universe. If you look at all the James Webb telescope and Hubble telescope photos, we're looking at a bunch of spheres.
Yeah.
But then also every atom, as best we can depict it, every molecule is spherical.
Yes.
And so if you look at that, if you start to think about, you know, in the scale of the universe, Mars has more in common with the size of an atom than it does with some of the bigger things in the universe. And so in that regard, are we not just all part of the same energy, the same mass?
Yes.
In that, it might be a little more, and again, it's beyond that, it's beyond complex, but I can tell you this, the cavity that holds our brain in our skull, and most mammals, is a sphere, or it's spherical enough that it matches the spheres that are orbiting around with us.
Right.
And we're on a sphere, you know, we're literally on a round object spinning at a high speed. So all of this energy that's created, but it's invisible and academia can't get a grant to study it. So of course it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because they can't get a grant. If they can get a grant to study it, then it might have some significance.
Well, you know, I figure too, if the moon can affect the oceans because of the gravitational pull, that should tell everybody what they need to know about the planets and how they can affect us, right?
Well, absolutely. I mean, the Earth is 75 to 80% water, and so is the human body.
Yeah.
If the moon and the sun, you know, it's basically the Earth in a lot of ways is kind of getting squished there, but basically the moon and the sun pushing against us in some capacity. And again, in the scheme of the universe, not only is the moon practically touching the Earth, in the scheme of the size of the universe and even the galaxy, the moon is so close to the Earth, but the Earth is so close to the sun.
I know. It really
is. You
know,
talk about Alpha Centauri, you know, is 4 light years away. You know, the sun is 8 light minutes away.
Wow.
Okay.
Listen, I'm in Texas and I feel like I'm on the sun already. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Especially this time of year.
I walk outside and I'm like, okay, yeah, I'm in Texas. Thanks. That's great. So I've heard you talk during your lives that you don't do pop astrology, and I'm not sure exactly what you mean by that. Can you tell people just so they know the difference, like if they were to go to you or maybe somebody else, what's the difference and what should they look out for?
Well, no, I actually like pop astrology.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it's fun. It's fun to say, oh, you're a Gemini. You're two-faced.
Right?
You're, you know, oh, you're a Cancer. You know, you like to stay home, but you make a great cook, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
And that's fun. But I think the critique is that people who are into pop astrology don't have any depth. Exactly. And I'm a top astrologer. I've got all the depth you need. I mean, how deep do you want to go?
Exactly.
But here's the thing. Yeah. In reverse, one thing I'll tell you the pop astrologers have that deeper astrologers may be lacking is the pop astrologers are accessible. People want to hear this thing and this news and these things about themselves.
Yeah.
Whereas a lot of deep astrologers, they get into some really esoteric.
They do.
Ridiculous measurements. And frankly, I've studied astrology for many years, and a lot of those deep, deep dives come up with nothing.
Well, and I'm like, you may as well just be talking to me like the Charlie Brown, bah, 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 bah. I have no idea what you're saying.
I don't understand. So I do try. I mean, I actually would like to think that I've been influenced. When I got on TikTok, I was like impressed with the pop astrologers that they could say a couple of sentences and get 100,000 followers. So you'll see this astrology videos on TikTok and, you know, they'll be really enjoyable. And the next one will be some snotty person saying, I'm not a pop astrologer. I'm the real deal. And it's like, well, I'm the real deal. And I like pop astrology.
Yeah,
I like pop music, too. I like pop art. Warhol's a lot more famous than a lot of the abstract painters that came before him. So I like pop stuff, you know.
Well, I got to tell you.
Now, there have been times when I've fallen asleep on your live. I'm not going to lie. And then I wake up really quickly when you turn the music on, okay?
You got to turn the music on once in a while. Wake people up.
Wake everybody up.
Well, just it'll inspire me that a song goes with the forecast I'm doing. So I'll turn on the Amazon device and
fantastic.
Amazon device they'll cooperate, you know.
Well, you get to know someone that way too, because I'm just like, this is music I've never heard before. But listen, I love it. I think it's fantastic. I really do.
I have fun with it.
You do.
Now, I've also heard Mercury retrograde can be a good thing, maybe a bad thing, a whatever thing. I'm a Gemini, so I'm in that. So I'm like, is that always a bad thing? Is it just something you got to watch out for? What is Mercury retrograde? What does that mean?
Well, Mercury is actually not retrograde. Right. The apparent motion of Mercury and of every planet at varying times throughout the year or throughout a pattern of years, because we are on a moving object, you can picture it like if you're in traffic with somebody.
Yes.
And sometimes their lane is moving fast and you're like, why am I not in their lane? And then sometimes when you're moving fast, you don't even notice. You're like, oh, this is how it's supposed to be, right? Okay. So sometimes Mercury appears to be moving backwards as it's rounding the sun and as we are either catching up to it or appearing to fall behind. But at all times, the planets are, relatively speaking, going the same speed and going in one direction.
But why is that specific illusion a bad thing, though? Do you understand what I mean?
No, it's not. And I wouldn't call Mercury retrograde bad.
Okay.
You want to look at it as a change. The problem is human beings, we get into patterns, we get into rituals, and we don't like our little daily ritual upset. You know, the day-to-day grind is, we don't want that upset. We don't want, you know, the little old lady next door was a really nice neighbor and then she passed away. And then the kids sold the house and now they're bulldozing the house and it's 6 a.m. and I don't get up till 9. Wait, what? So that's, you know, Mercury retrograde. Everything was fine when the little old lady was around, but people come and people go.
Gotcha.
So these planets tend to force change on us only because we are so zombie-like in our day-to-day ritual. Wow. And so the beauty of a retrograde planet, any planet in a retrograde cycle, is that it shakes us out of an ordinary walking through the world in a sleep.
I like that. You shake it up, man. We need the contrast for sure.
Oh, yeah. You know, when you're walking through your town and you go, oh, what used to be there? Oh, that was that little mom and pop store. Hey, what used to be there? Oh, that was that really cool bar.
Right.
And now it's a Starbucks and the other one's a Starbucks. And down the street from that is your fourth and fifth Starbucks. So So it's change. And then, you know, look, in 15 years, your kid or your grandkid is going to go, what was the name of that coffee place? There was like 5 of them.
I know.
And you're going to go, oh, it was called, what was it called? Buckstars?
Yeah.
You know, so things change over time, but Mercury retrograde happens 3 times a year. So it's more about like specific disruptions, but there's really great things you can do while Mercury's retrograde. For example, I've got a pile of boxes in the corner and my wife says, you know, it's Mercury retrograde. And she just sort of nods and looks over at the pile of boxes. It's like, oh, God, I better take these to the storage locker.
Oh, yeah.
And then if I'm on Facebook, I'll see a post by an old friend and I'll comment on it. And then an even older friend who I'm not friends, who were mutual friends with this friend from high school or college or wherever.
Yeah.
That person will say, hey, and then I'll add them as a Facebook friend and
right.
we'll go at it. And then you find out, here's the beauty of Mercury retrograde. It ends and you realize, well, I know why we didn't keep in touch, but it was nice. So there's really nice things you can do. But Mercury retrograde is great for going back over things. I just had a reading with somebody and they said, oh, I heard that you're not supposed to sign any paperwork during Mercury retrograde. And my financial advisor's upset at me because there's a probate I'm supposed to sign the paperwork. Probate is something that is great to sign paperwork during Mercury retrograde.
Okay.
So there's situations that the lore of Mercury retrograde is so great that we miss the details. That's where the pop astrology can maybe get in the way.
Right.
But flip side, the chaos of Mercury retrograde can often be really beautiful. You know, in fact, during Mercury retrograde, you'll hear yourself saying, maybe to your lover, your spouse, your friends, you might say, God, we should do this more often. That means you're not going to do it. You're not going to do it for about 8 or 9 years. Because it's just so beautiful. But if you did, like, well, you're in Texas, you know, barbecue's great.
Yeah.
I love Texas barbecue. I could recommend some places in Dallas that have changed my opinion of what it means to eat food.
Yeah.
But if you start eating barbecue every day, your waistline will remind you, maybe don't do this every day, you know?
It sounds like Mercury retrograde might be just a vibe.
It's a vibe. It's just, it's a time. It's a time to reflect. It's a time to go back over things.
Yeah.
If you're, let's say that you're trying to write a screenplay for whatever reason, you have your dreams of glory, like everybody else, and you're writing a screenplay. And well, maybe it's been sitting on your desktop computer there for about a year. Oh, Mercury's retrograde. What a great time to go back over things. Instead of watching Netflix tonight, go back over your screenplay.
Absolutely.
See what's going on. So it's a time to revisit things.
I like that.
I was looking at a bunch of old family photos the other day, and it was fascinating to me. And I would take a picture of the actual physical photo from 1960, and I would crop it, and I would send it to some of my cousins on Facebook.
Sure.
And I would send it to some of my brothers. I have a lot of brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
I would send it to them. And it was funny because now everybody's going back over the past.
Aww.
And you can't live in the past.
Yeah.
But this is the time, if you're going to open that old scrapbook, Mercury's retrograde is the absolute best time.
I love that.
No, that's a great explanation. See, guys, this is why I had him on. Okay. So I did have you look at the U.S. chart because I'd love to hear your thoughts because you're so good at what you do. Blitz, I need to know what you think is going to happen maybe in the next 6 months or a year, whatever you decide to tell me.
Well, the United States was born July 4th, 1776, about 5 something in the afternoon in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. So we can calculate a chart for that. A chart is basically a map of where the sun, moon, and planets were longitudinally relative to the position of Earth and the position on Earth. And so it's an extremely complex yet easy to understand concept. And so you can figure out where the sun, moon, and planets were at any point in history.
Right.
And so, no surprise right now, the USA has the planet Jupiter, which is a planet of abundance and big energy, over the top. Right now, it's in the one-on-one house. The seventh house is the house of one-on-one relationships.
Okay.
And so I look at this as definitely the overbearing nature of the Trump administration.
Yeah.
Whether you're, and I'm not a fan, but if you're a fan, I'm not going to denigrate. I try to be as objective as possible, but I will discuss my biases.
Sure.
But right now, there's just been this one-on-one energy. And even if you are neutral about the political situation, in the last 6 months, the Supreme Court has expanded the powers of the executive branch.
Yes.
Greater than any time in American history. And
in
150 years, they'll look back on this as a time of amazing expansion of the executive branch. In fact, they might have to curtail it at some point because we don't know where it's going to go. So Jupiter has definitely been indicating the big, big things of the one-on-one relationship between the American people and basically the American state and the person at the head, the partner of that state.
Okay.
Now, simultaneous with that, the biggest news, and this hasn't happened since the 1990s, has been Saturn and Neptune. Well, Saturn hasn't done this since the 1990s. Neptune hasn't been in there since the middle of the 1800s.
Okay.
But Saturn and Neptune are going over what's called the fourth house cusp. And that is the bottom of the chart. It's the equivalent of midnight. And it's about the home and security. And I'll tell you an interesting thing. Okay, so right now, a lot of again, love him or hate him, Trump's trade policies are creating a situation of America first. This is he is absolutely putting America first. He's telling the allies, you got to pay more if you're in NATO. He is telling every country, if you have a tariff against us, we're going to have a tariff against you. And he's using these to get really favorable trade deals that put American interests first. Okay. So regardless of whatever he does, however he conducts himself, these things are happening. Now, you say to yourself, okay, this is a repeat of a pattern. Mm-hmm. What happened roughly 30 years ago? Well, 30 years ago, Bill Clinton was president. And it was before he decided to start dating Monica.
Right.
So, but what was, you know, we don't talk about Clinton's major achievement enough.
Oh, I know.
It was one of the most overlooked achievements in history. And I'll tell you what it was and how it matches with what's going on now. We think of Republicans as saying, get rid of government regulations. And we think of Democrats as, oh, let's form a committee to write new regulations on top of the regulations we used to have, right?
Right.
Do you realize that Bill Clinton signed a law about 30 years ago, and 30 years ago, it was really starting to manifest, that said no government agency, no city council, no state representatives, none of them could get in the way of companies installing the internet. So, for example, when cable TV came out, every city could say, we choose to have this cable TV company and no other available in our town, right? Okay,
yeah.
And that's what the towns, that's what every city wanted to do. They saw that big fat internet contract.
Oh, of course they did.
Yeah. And Bill Clinton said no, with the help of Al Gore. This is one of the reasons that Al Gore said, he misspoke and said, you know, I founded the internet. I founded legislation that made the internet possible. And he was the butt of many jokes. But the fascinating thing is the accuracy of that. He just misspoke. He just said, without me and Bill Clinton, without the Clinton administration getting behind this, cable TV and the internet would be like your neighbor would have Earthlink and you would be stuck with AT&T or vice versa.
Right.
You know, because of like cable TV. And so that was 30 years ago that was really taken, those policies really. And so I look at what Trump's doing now, saying America first, nobody can get in the way of us selling our goods where we want to sell them.
Yeah.
And so you have to have a bit of an imagination as an astrologer when you see this, like, what is this a repeat of? Because people want to do the doom and gloom. Oh, my God, Trump is the worst thing that ever happened. Or vice versa. Oh, my God, Obama's the worst. He's a communist. He wants to make us a servant of the EU. You say, no. What happened the last time this planet was here? And don't just think impulsively the first thing. Yeah. Think about a wide range of possibilities and try to deconstruct what's really happening here.
Yeah.
Now, that's kind of the good news. Here's the more maybe terrifying news.
Yeah.
Neptune is a very slow planet, Leslie.
Oh.
Very slow. It's way out there.
Okay.
Neptune takes over 100 some years to go around the zodiac.
Oh, geez. Okay.
So 160 years ago, Neptune was where it is now in America's chart.
Uh-oh.
And that's when the Civil War started. So the fact that we are divided as a country, and you know, the United States in its natal chart, July 4, 1776, is a Cancer. Okay, the zodiac sign Cancer cares about security. Okay, so we are a country that cares about security. We're protected by two large oceans on either side. And the moon is in Aquarius, and Aquarius is a sign of getting together. E pluribus unum, out of many, one. That's our slogan. That is an Aquarian method. Okay, so to be divided is poison to this country.
Okay.
And Neptune is the planet of illusion and dreams. And if you ever saw the movie Gone with the Wind, they have this sentiment when the war starts, you know, it'll be the best 3 weeks in the history of the South.
Yeah.
What is the guy, Rhett Butler? They say, what do you say, Mr. Butler? You've been up north. Do you think we can take them in a week or is it going to take a month? And he kind of warns them, this is going to be a long thing. So there was a lot of illusion going into the, and nobody understood Abraham Lincoln's resolve, you know, to keep the United States united.
Yeah.
And so because they were under the illusion of Neptune. So I think right now we're divided, but it's under a lot of illusions. You know, we used to all watch I Love Lucy.
Yeah.
Okay. That was America. We all watched I Love Lucy. We watched The Honeymooners. We watched Gilligan's Island.
Yeah.
Okay. But right now it's like, oh, what did you see on Netflix? Oh, here's the show you got. Oh God, I'm watching this one. Oh, season five of that is so great. I haven't even started season one. How am I going to catch up to you with season five?
Right.
So look at us. We're divided on many. And I'm not saying I am not making a value judgment. Many countries have internal divisions and they still sort of mosey on.
Yeah.
But the fact that this country's emotional state, that its moon is in the position of Aquarius, is we the people, any division is toxic. And so that's why it just feels worse than perhaps it really is.
Yeah.
And there is a strength for some political forces to keep us divided. A communist China, of course, is one. But, you know, one political party, if everything's divided, you need them. You know,
exactly.
Democrats, yeah. They're not going to lower taxes. You have to be with us no matter how repulsive you think we are. Or the same with Democrats. Oh, you know, they're not going to represent your interests. They're racist. You can only go with us. So there's a lot of value in keeping people divided for some groups. But the genesis of America is when we are united, there's no toxicity. And when we're not united, that's when we get away from our sort of fundamental purpose.
Yeah.
Are you seeing any kind of like, you know, help in the way of someone else from other, you know, like other governors or, you know, maybe even other countries or even maybe an alien abduction? I don't even know.
Well, you know, I think we're stuck with the current trend right now. There's a lot of harmony from some fundamentally disruptive planets. The planet Uranus right now.
Oh.
Is harmonizing with the Pluto position of the United States, and that's the dollar.
Oh.
And I actually think the economy is going to be extremely shaky for a couple of months.
Oh.
But I do think by this time next year, the winds are going to favor the United States. And this is just purely in the economics of the United States.
Okay.
Pluto's a power planet in the United States chart. Pluto's in the money house. And you know, Pluto hadn't been discovered then. Neither had the planet Uranus. Or the planet Neptune.
Okay.
So they're in interesting positions in the chart that nobody could have predicted. You know, the Freemasons, who are very adept astrologers, the Freemasons structured the United States. And, you know, Ben Franklin, he got rich. He came from nothing. He got rich by publishing Poor Richard's Almanac. Well, Poor Richard's Almanac was an astrological ephemeris. So this guy knew, like, hey, this is when we need to start this country, okay?
Yeah.
Let's get this thing going.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's, you know, he pointed to a chair that had a carving of a sun, and it was a half sun.
Mm.
And he said, you know, with the beams coming out, and he said, that's the United States, either the sun's rising or the sun's setting, you know? And that's the way astrologers speak. So we were founded by an astrologer. He didn't even know that there was Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto.
Wow.
So, yeah. So right now is a shaky time. We're just finishing up Uranus's square to the lunar position, the moon's position in Aquarius.
Okay.
And so the issue for us now is we got to wait it out. We just got to wait it out. Now, I will say the planet Uranus in the sign of Gemini disrupts Trump. The Epstein thing is slapping him around.
Yeah.
He's going to have a few more things slapping him around. He has the advantage prior to Uranus going into Gemini that the Supreme Court has really expanded the executive branch far beyond. And it's limited the scope of the local judiciaries,
absolutely.
Circuit courts.
Yes.
And so that's never happened. And again, that's that one-on-one energy, the one-on-one energy of Jupiter in the seventh house, the one person. Who is the one person in... Now, we look at it as the partnerships of the United States.
Yeah.
The United States is a very partnership-oriented country. It has the sun in Zodiac Cancer in the seventh house. It has Jupiter, Venus, Mars, all in the seventh house. This is a country that says, basically, we want to trade with you.
Yeah.
You know, Franklin Roosevelt said, the business of America is business. And he was the liberal, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so we understand, you know, this is a country that it thrives when the markets are open and things are selling. And that's the structure of this country. And that is really being reaffirmed right now.
Yeah.
Long term, I could see 2028. I could see socialists a little more popular in the coming years when Uranus moves into the seventh house, the partnership house. It's a disruptive force.
Mm-hmm.
And I could see Uranus really knocking things over as far as free trade. I could see it as far as our one-on-one relationship with the government. It may be a little more socialist a little more. We're going to take what you have and redistribute it.
Yeah.
So I could see that in about 4 or 5 years really rising. The one thing that's happening now to pay attention to is the mayoral candidate in New York City. His name is Zoran Mamdani, and he's extremely socialist. He's an unapologetic socialist.
Right.
I think even beyond what Bernie and AOC present to us. Yeah, okay. So you're going to see one of the issues is going to be there's always a fight against that. And so in the United States, we have capitalism, and then we have the pendulum goes the other way, but we never make it to socialism. We make it to the fight against socialism. And then the pendulum swings back. And so I think inherently this country is too trade oriented to ever adopt some of the more extreme policies of pure socialism. But there is going to be a big upset to the capitalism. And I do think after Trump, this is 8 years from now, I do think that there will be a push to pull back a lot of the current executive branch victories the administration is winning. But this is more long-term forecasting.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, right now, Mercury's retrograde in the eighth house of the United States. The eighth house is other people's money. Mm. So the Fed's not going to be lowering interest rates in the next 2 or 3 months. It's not going to be happening.
That's good to know. I'm curious, though, because you said it's been like 160 years ago was the Civil War. And then 160 years from now, it's going to be, and right now we're where we are, 160 years from now. Does it always have to play out the same way, or is it free will? Is it,
Look, we're not in a civil war. Nobody has seceded. But it's a time where we are not united as a people.
Right.
And a lot of this is the internet. I mean, look, I'm old enough to remember. I'm 60.
Yeah.
I remember when there was three TV channels. ABC, CBS, NBC.
Right.
And then this thing called UHF happened. We got a UHF antenna. And we could watch Sesame Street
PBS.
Yeah. And then there was a local station in Los Angeles here, KTLA and KHJ. So we had five channels. Yeah. I remember meeting kids from other cities like, we have five TV. You have five. And then we had KCOP. We had six channels.
Wow.
What? And these kids are like, what? Because they only had three channels. And so it was a very united country in that way.
Yeah.
Near the end of radio's dominance, when TV really took off in the late 1950s, there were complaints. You can look this up historically, that there are too many radio stations.
Mm.
There's a cacophony of radio stations. And then we got united again by TV, by the network TV. And then even cable TV, HBO and remember Cinemax, a few of these things dominated, CNN. But now there's Fox and there's MSNBC. So now we have all these compartmentalized things that are keeping us separate. So the way that information is being distributed is far less united, let's put it that way.
No, and you're right.
And so it's really, this has been happening for decades, but it's really right now really pulsating. And the obviousness that we are a divided people is everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
It's everywhere now. It's an absolute accepted fact. You know, the thing about history is things happen. This is a time for the next 20 years where we're going to kind of be like this. We're going to be in these kind of scattered tribes.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, I don't know that it'll happen in my lifetime, but there was a phenomena when Neptune moved into Taurus in the 1880s, in the late 1870s, to really start getting back. And I'll give you an example.
Yeah.
New York City, the reason we have a New York City and we don't just have cities in New York, the five boroughs, they were cities. Brooklyn was a city.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah.
Manhattan was actually called New York. Okay, so they united into one city because the urge around America then was let's unite. Let's bring things together.
True.
The railroads started to really unite the country. And so this, again, this will happen in the late 2030s. But in the late 2030s, you will see when Neptune goes into Taurus, a sort of like, okay, what is our common nature? What are the things we share? I want to live in your shoes for a day. I want you to live in my shoes for a day. These are things that started happening after Neptune left Aries. So Neptune in Aries is the illusion that your individual or my individual or your neighbor's individual perceptions are so much reality that their separateness is correct. And that's going to be going on for quite a while now. And it may get chronic. There may be, if there's not a violent civil war, you may hear talk of secession. There's a talk right now, Puerto Rico, which is still a territory of the United States, and the Republicans don't want it to become a state because it would give Democrats a distinct advantage in the makeup of the Senate. That's the main reason that Puerto Rico is not a state. If they could find a small territory, you know, if the Virgin Islands, which is a territory of the United States, was over the top Republican, I think right now they'd be the 51st and 52nd states of the United States. Oh, but because there's lopsided, they won't go there. But right now there's a talk that Puerto Rico is going to become an independent state of Spain as a sort of middle finger to the United States. And, you know, Puerto Rico, they're citizens. They vote.
Right.
But the idea that they would want to secede for the United States, it tells you that just how disconnected the United States is. So there isn't a war going on right now.
Right.
There's a perennial vibe now. You know, there's an anti-tourism push in Hawaii. And it's like, well, that's the only industry you have, pineapples and tourism.
Right. Yeah.
But there's this thing, well, we should be independent. We should be independent. Well, it's probably funded by China. But regardless, the fact that we have outside forces trying to fund our disunity, but it comes down to this illusion. Aries is the sign of individualism and Neptune is the planet of illusion. And we are entering an era of hyper individualism being the spell, the zombie spell under which we walk.
Okay. When, you know, United States is so big, right? You could fit the entire UK in the state of Texas and still have room on each side. So it makes sense why we would be so divided because we're so spread out. But you're right. In the 1950s, even before that, and even beyond that a little bit, we were so much more connected. And I never thought about it that way.
I'll tell you a funny story. I live in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And I'm not much for television. I stopped watching TV many, many years ago.
Yeah.
I live in Los Angeles. And one night, my wife and I went out to a restaurant. And it was a really crowded restaurant. Yeah. And it was empty. We drove to it. And then when we drove back, the freeway was empty.
Huh.
And I just said, wow, what a weird night. Everyone must be staying home. It was the last episode of Seinfeld.
Oh.
It was on TV. And I didn't know. My wife didn't know. We got a great meal. And it came out quick. And it was, you know, piping hot. And the chef came out and talked to us because it was such a slow night.
Yeah.
And I thought, God, is there a recession coming? And I drove on the highway. There's nobody on the highway. Everybody was home watching Seinfeld, at least in LA. And I thought about it later. It's like, wow, you know, we're not going to see many more instances of being that united. Maybe the Super Bowl would be like if you want to go to a fancy restaurant, go during the Super Bowl. But then nobody wants to go on because of Super Bowl. So the Super Bowl is maybe the last thing that unites us, or Christmas shopping. So there's a few of these examples that are still out there. But yeah, the day-to-day idea that we're united but what it is, we've become a cacophony of individuals. Everybody's talking, nobody's listening.
Absolutely right. And, you know, it's funny you say that because I heard on the news today that they're actually talking, I'm switching gears a little bit. They're actually talking about the government really, truly disclosing that we are not alone here. Are you seeing any of that in the chart for the U.S. at all? Any kind of disclosure here?
Oh, you know what? I have an ephemeris. I'm going to look for you. That's a good question.
Sure.
I do have to look it up.
Okay.
An ephemeris is a book. You can buy one on Amazon, and it's literally a table of planetary positions.
Okay.
Where are the planets in the tropical zodiac at any given moment?
Wow.
So what I'm looking for is, when is the planet Uranus going to go into the seventh house, the house of others?
The
chart of the United States. Now, the United States is not the world. So with that caveat in mind, when you're talking about discussion of alien life, we have to have proof of alien life. And I believe that'll be happening in 2 years. In July of 2028, the planet Uranus will go into the seventh house of the United States.
Wow.
On the United States' chart. The United States is a Sagittarius rising. When the Declaration of Independence says the pursuit of happiness, that is the core. If you have a friend who's a Sagittarius and I say pursuit of happiness, you're going to laugh, giggle, and roll your eyes because that's your friend, the Sagittarius.
Yes.
And that's the United States pursuit of happiness. So by May of 2029, at the latest, May of 2029, we'll have proof of extraterrestrial life relative to the United States. Or if it doesn't happen, then we'll have to wait another 84 years for Uranus to go around.
You guys see how precise this is. He can actually look at the dates, maybe not specifically the time and all that, but he can look at the months and he can look at the years and he can look at how they all go together. That's fascinating. And when I look at a chart and you guys are looking at it and there's all these little numbers and symbols and I'm like, I don't even understand what you're doing. I don't get it.
It's not that hard. If you wanted to learn about astrology, I'll tell you, I went to the library when I first got into it and I started reading books. And the first thing I realized after reading 7 or 8 books is how plagiarized they were from each other.
But
that's the beauty of it. It's an extremely consistent system. And yeah, there's some astrologers on TikTok that say the rising sign is more important than the sun sign.
Sure.
And some say that there's a system called whole sign and there's a system called a Placidus calculation to the moment and things like that. But at the end of the day, it's an extremely consistent system.
Yes.
It's relatively easy to learn compared to some other things that you might be interested in. So I would say if you go to the library, you go on Amazon.com, there's some basic astrology books.
Yes.
Some of them are old. I have some really old astrology books. It is difficult to understand. It's like reading Shakespeare. You're kind of like, what is this saying? Sometimes you understand it and laugh.
Right.
And other times, you know, all the world's a stage and the men and women on it are only players. Oh, I get that. I understand, you know.
Yeah.
But then some other Shakespeare things, you're like, what the hell does that mean? And you have to decipher it. A lot of astrology books, they're old enough where the language is starting to fade and you're like, huh?
Exactly.
That said, the books are good. I would not use AI because AI is using a large language model. It's not actually sticking to the rigorous application of the meaning of each planet and the meaning of each sign. It's just grabbing random meanings.
It's very
so AI
nuanced.
Is actually behind when it comes to astrological study.
Yeah.
But that said, there are plenty of books. There's one on Amazon called Astrology. The author is Carol Taylor.
Yes.
And again, it's all the same information that you're going to get from 100 or 200 or 500 other astrology books. But it is written in very contemporary language, really pleasant contemporary design.
Yeah.
It's super affordable. It's a 250-page hardback book, and it's under $20 on Amazon right now.
Okay.
And it's a beautiful book. It's something that your grandkids will have no problem. You know, it's not going to go anywhere. It's not going to disintegrate. It's not going to. I've got a lot of old paperback astrology books, and the binding is just unconscionably terrible.
Yeah.
And they're all just falling apart. Again, Astrology is the title. The author is Carol Taylor. If you go to Amazon right now for under $20, you'll literally have a 250-page book that will get you so easily understanding astrology.
Wow.
What the little symbols are, represent, what they mean, what the zodiac signs mean. Zodiac signs are real estate. The planets are the wanderers. They travel through the real estate of the sky.
Okay.
When they're in one area, it has an impact in some manner. When they're in another way, it has an impact another way.
Right.
If you're born when the planets are here, it might mean that you are extroverted or you're self-centered.
Right.
Or your priority is material gain. Some people, when they're 18, they go to college and they get a degree and they go get a job. And other people become an art major. And 10 years later, they're still like, yeah, I want to figure out what's going on. You know,
it's, right.
It's like some people are born with the sun in Taurus and some people are born with the sun in Pisces.
Exactly.
And this is who we are.
And that's why you get beyond the pop astrology. You go into that really nuanced area of you may be a Gemini or you may be a Cancer or whatever. But as a Gemini, I feel like I'm not in so many other aspects because I'm a Capricorn rising or whatever, right? And of course, it depends on the day you're born and the time you're born, too. It's just so much to it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're born in Chicago, okay, latitudinally, New Orleans is directly below Chicago.
Yeah.
Now, if you're born at 8:30 p.m. in the middle of the summer in Chicago, because of the tilt of the Earth and the fact that the Earth's relationship to the sun sees the sun as being in the northern hemisphere, if you're born at about 8:30 at night in Chicago, the sun is still out. It's still above the horizon.
True.
If you were a baby born on the one day in Chicago, the same day, the same time as a baby born in New Orleans at 8:30 on a summer night, the sun has already set.
Mm.
An astrology chart calculated, if your astrology chart is calculated with a method that takes in the latitudinal relativity of the Earth, in addition to the longitudinal placements of the planets, it will reflect that accurately.
That's
crazy. You could be born the exact same time, and longitudinally, you're in the exact same place. You are longitudinally in New Orleans is right exactly below Chicago, but the latitude, it will actually show you where the planets are in it differing.
Yes.
You know, sometimes the sun sets and you can see a bright star and it's the planet Venus.
On winter
the planet
and summer.
Jupiter. You know, they call it the morning star, the evening star. If you're born at a high altitude or a low altitude, depending on the time of the year, you could be born at exactly the same time as somebody lined up exactly with you and their latitude is higher than yours. the sun and these planets will be shown in different locations. Wow. They'll be in the same zodiac signs because the various zodiac sign, the relationship between you and that zodiac sign is different based on your position on the earth. The beauty of astrology is it really is about you.
Yes.
It is the only science that posits you as the center of the universe.
Yeah, right. Hey, now, Blitz, I know you have a show coming up in New York, in New York City. So I want you to tell everybody about this new show you have coming up. I think it's August 29th through the 31st, correct?
Yeah, 29th, 30th, 31st. I'm going to be at Hudson VU, which is a wonderful restaurant that hosts events. And I'm going to be doing stand-up astrology, and it's just going to be some funny stories from my life in astrology. But in addition to that, we're going to do audience participation. And imagine if you were in a crowded restaurant and two tables over was your absolute soulmate.
Right?
A complete stranger. Well, you have to calculate your charts. We're going to do that in advance.
Oh, my gosh.
And if your soulmate's in the room, I'm going to set you up with your soulmate.
It's almost like
the problem is we have so many standards in society. You know, every woman wants a 6'3" man who makes $110,000 a year, who's Don Juan between the sheets.
Yeah.
And so if your soulmate is two tables over from you and he's, you know, 5'7" and bald, you're going to not like coming to stand-up astrology until you spend about 20 minutes with the person I'm telling you is your soulmate. And in that regard, you're going to be like, okay, I sense the chemistry here.
Hey, if somebody suggests you for someone else, you know, you always have a better match with someone that fixes you up because they know the person or they know about the person. So to me, that's a better situation than just some stranger on Hinge or something.
Oh, you can look at someone's chart and say, never, never, never go online dating. Never just pick a guy up at a bar. Have your friends set you up. You can look at some people's chart and say, wow, you would have been lucky if you had been born into a culture where the parents marry you off. I think there's still some tight-knit ethnic cultures in the United States where they pretty much say, yeah, okay, go to college and date. You know, go have your fun with your hot girlfriend, because when you're done with college, your mother and I have already, we're already talking to some families and we're going to set you up. Some people, it's really in their chart. I once did a chart reading for a woman and she was from India and she had moved to the United States. And she said her and her husband were set up by their parents.
Oh, wow.
And they did not like each other to the point that they found it funny.
Oh,
and they actually bonded over the fact that they were such a terrible match. and literally on their honeymoon, they came up with a plan. They were going to move to the United States, and they were both professionals, so they were able to get good jobs here.
Sure.
So the plan was, we're going to move to the United States, and we are going to blame the United States for getting a divorce.
Oh, no. Are you serious?
And they loved it. Then they were happy with each other because they had a goal.
Oh.
And so they both moved to the United States. And she was getting a Western reading because there's a Vedic astrology based in India. She wanted a Western reading, a Western tropical reading.
Yeah.
So I gave her that reading and I said, yeah, nothing in your chart says your parents should set you up. And I've done charts of people born in the West, or these women who go on Tinder and keep having lousy matches. And I say, you know what? Call your mom, call your sister, call your aunt and say, I promise you, if you set me up with someone, I will go on at least 3 dates with that person and really give it an effort.
Yeah.
Because some people, it's in their chart, their family should set them up.
Wow.
Their friends should set them up. They're going to meet someone at work, you know.
Well,
they're
going to
be a TikTok influencer and and they're going to marry one of their fans.
It's, you know? And it's in their chart. That's what blows my mind. I just, wow. Well, Blitz, you've been amazing. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I'm so glad that my listeners have heard you just talking about it all, because it's so much fun to listen to you. And I'm going to add all of your information on my show notes, but also I'm going to add the Eventbrite, I believe, on the show notes too, if somebody wants to get a ticket for your show.
Thank you so much.
Of course.
Thank you, Leslie.
Absolutely.
It's going to be a fun time.
Yeah.
And I'm a gregarious guy. I like to get out there. I have fun on TikTok. I'm on Instagram as Astrology Blitz. And I have a lot of spoof accounts pretending to be me.
Oh, you do.
So what happens is scammers pretend to be me and then they hit people up. So when you go on TikTok, I'm Astrology Blitz with over 70,000 followers.
Right.
And if you're on Instagram, I'm Astrology Blitz and the subtext says Los Angeles Libra.
Oh, okay.
So
that's
how you can find me.
Okay. Like I said, I'll add your information on the show notes. And Blitz, thank you again for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me, Leslie.
Well, I love providing because I want to know at no cost. So if you like what you heard, please leave me a 5-star review, or you can just buy me a cup of coffee. It's kind of like a Patreon, but you don't have a monthly subscription and you can give whatever you feel led to give. I am a one-woman show and I do all of my scheduling and my interviewing and my editing. So just know your support is so greatly appreciated. And one more thing, I am a paranormal romance novelist and you can find all of my books on Amazon. Just look up my name. I'm very easy to find. Thank you guys again, and I will see you next week.